So we have been discussing the position of the Rambam, again, maybe one of the most famous Rambams, one of the most famous Shittos LaHalacha out there, so much so that it's been quoted in the non-Jewish sources very often, very, very well-known position, the position of the Rambam, that the effectiveness of kfiyah by a get is premised on what we've been calling the pinchul yid, the idea that deep down, really, the husband wants to do the right thing, and therefore the pressure is not really pressure, it is pressure, but it's not really against his will. Ultimately, that is his will. That's what he wants, and we're doing what's best for him, and that's why it works. And we discussed over the past few days various questions in that Rambam, various issues, objections, back and forth, and some of the details that emanate from that, some of the hashkafic implications. It's a fascinating position. But what if it's not the only position? So we saw yesterday that there are other Rishonim who seem to not be working off the Rambam's premise, as evidenced by, for example, the fact that the mitzvah doesn't seem to be enough for some Rishonim. We find situations where there is a mitzvah, and yet they do not allow for kfiyah. So if the Rambam says it's all based on there being a mitzvah, that can't be their approach. And we also saw that Rishonim, other than the Rambam, like maybe the Ramban, seem to feel that this would not be considered ratzon, that if somebody is schlepping you there, even if you're cooperating at the end, that would not necessarily meet the standard of ratzon for a get. So what other possibilities are there? How else can we understand how kfiyah works? Because we know that at least in some cases kfiyah does work. We know that at least the Mishnah in our Masechta tells us that there are certain cases where kfiyah is a valid path to obtain a get. So what's our other possibility? Right, we ended off with this yesterday. What's the other way of possibly explaining how that could be the case? Afkinu, right? The idea that, which is the Gemara in other contexts, for example, in Daf Gimel and Tzuvos, and elsewhere throughout Shas, that the phrase that appears, Afkinu Rabbanan Lekidushin Minei, that there are circumstances where the rabbis have removed, pulled the rug out from under his feet, have removed the Kiddushin from someone against his will, haven't allowed the Kiddushin to endure. So maybe that's the logic here. And the Rabbaz writes that in the Tshuva, in the Chelek Aleph, Aleph Reish Chav Ches, he writes that this is the idea, that essentially it is Afkeinu that is the operative factor here. So essentially, because it appears in Mishnah, in the Gemara, in Talmudic literature, that these cases are cases that are subject to kfiyah, that means that Chazal negated the merit. So it's explicit in the Radbaz, and it's close to explicit in other Rishonim as well. So, for example, a topic of much contention, we'll get into more tomorrow when we talk about Mo Salai head on, but a topic of much contention is a Takanas HaGaonim that the Rishonim talk about, that when the wife says she finds her husband disgusting, so the Gaonim thought that they should institute kfiyah for that purpose, because there are all kinds of kilkulim that could come up, that if this woman is disgusted by her husband and she's still technically married to him, so who knows what bad things could happen. So therefore they instituted that a get should be compelled under those circumstances. So as we'll discuss more, the impact of that takana halacha l'maisa is very questionable. Other Rishonim have various comments to make about this idea. And among the comments, the Rush in the Tshuva that we've talked about in Klal Min Gimel, so the Rush explains what they were doing essentially through a process of Afkinu, that they felt that this was their power as the rabbinic leadership to put in such an enactment. And nonetheless, as the Rush writes, this was not something that was accepted in all the nations. It was not something that necessarily got widespread approval. But you see from the way he formulates it that that's what they felt they were doing. That they felt that they were using their Afkeinu power because this was a big tzorach, there was a big kilkul that could happen from situations like this, so therefore they instituted such a policy.
Hi. The way I understand Afkeinu is that it's some kind of annulment or canceling, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Does that need a get?
Oh, we'll get to that. Very important question, no pun intended. It's a very important question, very, very crucially important question. So we will arrive at that in a few minutes. So just to first clarify who holds like this and who doesn't, so we see that there the Rush is basically being respectful to this takana, but acknowledging that it wasn't necessarily accepted. But through his presentation, so you see that the Rush basically understands it as a function of Afkinu. This Rush was on Marmar Chomus, I think, in an earlier incarnation in Klal Mem Gimel, if you want to see it inside. That's basically how he understands it. And this is also, if you saw the Ritva, which is also on the Kart Marmar Chomus sheet, so the Ritva is a little stronger about it. And the Ritva basically says that the Takanas HaGaonim cannot be effective for this purpose. They cannot institute kfiyah for a get. Their authority only goes towards money. That if they want to institute policies regarding the tsuba, that they can do. As the rabbinic leadership, they can make monetary policy, but not for the purposes of the get, because his language basically is adaita derabanan velo adaita dibet. That basically saying that the notion that called Makadesh Adaita Rabbanan, that is the principle that allows for Afkinu, the assumption that marriage takes place on the premise that the rabbinic leadership is okay with it. So who's the rabbinic leadership? So the Ritva says it means Rabbanan of Chazal, it means the Gemara. It doesn't mean the Rabbanan of later generations, and therefore this is not in their authority. So essentially, what's the Ritva saying? He's saying same thing as the Rush, but he's saying it a little bit stronger, a little bit more critically, that this is what they were trying to do, trying to invoke Afkinu, and that's not in their permission. That's not something that they have access to. They're too late for that. This, parenthetically, we mentioned yesterday, is a major contemporary debate, not necessarily only addressing these cases, but the question of whether Afkinu is an available tool nowadays is a major debate. And here you see that the Rishonim already expressing that they felt that Afkinu was a very limited principle, that the Rabbanan of Afkinu is got to be the Rabbanan of the time of the Talmud. And that's the point which, again, is the topic of major discussion nowadays. You could imagine that various scenarios, when we talk about, for example, Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, so sometimes we employ that kind of terminology with a very basic bezdin. It doesn't necessarily mean Sanhedrin HaGadol kind of bezdin. And whether or not that's what we're talking about here requires a lot more discussion. You see here we've shown him already expressing a little bit of a feeling about this. Now one could ask, just to point to where the questions are, do we mean that it's simply a premise that you did the Kedushin on this condition and therefore anybody who we could fit into that model might qualify? Let's say if we had a clearly defined rabbinic leadership in this generation, we could say also that you get married al das, that the rabbinic leadership is okay with it. Or should we say that, no, it doesn't matter who the rabbinic leadership is, and even if we had clearly understood rabbinic leadership, still this is a comment that is only applicable to the Chochmei HaTalmud and is not something that can be invoked in later generations. So, for example, Rabbeinu Tam, in the Sefer HaYashar, in the Chelek HaTshuvos, in Siman Chaf Daled, Rabbeinu Tam writes that, similar to the Ritva, but just expressing it also in a little bit different terminology, that the whole idea of Afkinu is not going to be applicable today, because it's after the Chasim HaSat Talmud. The Gemara says in Bav Metzia, Ravina V'Ravashi Sofo Ra, a whole discussion what exactly the implications of that statement are, but it's a whole discussion of itself in terms of how halacha develops and what is the significance of what we call the Chasim HaSat Talmud, the fact that there is a red line between before the Gemara was sealed and after. So what exactly are the implications of that? So here Rabbeinu Tam is saying that to invoke Afkinu at that point, after that point, is not going to be feasible. So all of these Rishonim who are mentioned here are apparently assuming that the operative element of the kfiyah that we find in the Gemara is premised on Afkinu, and therefore it's only going to function in that context. Therefore, you can't apply it outside. So there are all kinds of implications to this. And so, first of all, in terms of keeping the scope of kfiyah relatively narrow, while the Rambam's understanding would have a much broader application. Sounds like, according to the Rambam, that any time there's a mitzvah, we theoretically should be able to use the logic, while if you say that it's after Inu, it's going to be much more constricted. And also, in terms of what exactly are the mechanics? Right? So what are we saying? Are we saying that the marriage is itself on its own collapsing? Or is there any other process going on at the same time? So Arya asked a very important question. So what about a get? Is there a need for a get in these circumstances? So it seems like in this discussion that Tzemach Tzedek emphasizes this in the Tshuva, and he quotes from Rishonim, which are essentially saying this, that this only works through the giving of the get. That in the Lashon of the Radbaz, in the Tshuva that we mentioned before, is that Afkina Rabbanan through this get. So that's going to be a crucial point also, again, for the contemporary debate of whether Afkina is applicable or not. So I think I mentioned the other day that when the suggestion was made that maybe nowadays you could have a situation where a recalcitrant husband could have his marriage canceled through whatever the rabbinic body is. So Rav Zalman Nechemi Goldberg Shlita wrote very strongly against such a suggestion, and he wrote that we find Afkinu in two different ways in the Gemara. One is at the moment of Kedushin, that there are certain scenarios where it could have been an effective Kedushin, but Chazal said, no, it's not proper, and therefore it doesn't get off the ground. So that's a non-wedding. But after a wedding has already existed for a while, a wedding marriage has actually happened for any period of time, so then, yes, the Gemara invokes Afkinu in that context as well, but only through a get. It could be a get puzzle. We'll have to figure out exactly what those terms are, because apparently that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about forcing a get out of somebody, and that get should be a get puzzle. But apparently that's enough. You need a get, but you need a get puzzle, and maybe that's what Afkinu means, that the rabbis decided that this kind of get, which is inadequate under other circumstances, is enough to end a marriage like that. Which one can analyze from a lumdish perspective in all kinds of fascinating ways, but that seems to be the understanding. Now, this is a debate that comes up in the Catholic religion, so they don't believe in divorce. So they do believe in annulment. So if a marriage wants to end with the approval of the Catholic Church, it has to be declared an annulment rather than a marriage that has a divorce. So then the question always comes up, so does it make sense to say that, sometimes you talk about annulment just in legal terms. So let's say you have a couple that gets married, and then the next morning they realize that they were aliens in disguise. They realize that there was some kind of major hoax going on. So, okay, so then you could say that's, the language of annulment. The whole thing was a complete mistake. It never got off the ground to begin with. So you have such a concept. Once a marriage has existed for a little while, so you have, it's gone on for years, you have children, are older, it becomes a little bit harder to see the kind of terminology of annulment applying. So there's a debate within Catholic circles. So through here, we talk about Afghanistan, we're talking about an annulment in that kind of a sense, or we're saying that this is essentially a divorce that happens through the Koach of Chazal. Maybe there's two different models here. Maybe that what Zalman Chemi was discussing, that at the time of the marriage, so Chazal can create an annulment, can say that you're not going to let this marriage even address itself in the first place. While after a marriage has started, so then it's not really an annulment, it's really a get that works through the power of Chazal. Maybe. I have to figure out exactly what that means. So the question came up, there's a tshuva about this, and the tshuva of the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe of Lubavitch, is printed in the back of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. So if you say it's really an annulment, so then that should have ramifications for a Kohen. Let's say you have a Kohen who has his marriage undone, or let's say you have a Kohen who wants to marry a woman, rather, who had her marriage undone through this process, so maybe we should say he should allow to. Be allowed to. It's not a divorce. It's not a grusha. So this is going to be a major question as far as the mechanics here. Is this really a undoing of the marriage, or is this a get? So here is the Alter Rebbe points out from Rishonim, he assumes that this would passel a kahuna. And the explanation that he gives based on the Rishonim is that because he knows that this marriage has no power to it, Chazal has dismantled it, so then he decides he might as well give a get. So essentially that get becomes beratzon, because what Chazal did to the marriage has rendered it valueless to him. So now his get is willing. So if that's the understanding, that's a whole different way of seeing it. Right? That basically gives us then three ways of seeing it. We could say, like the Rambam, that it is a get miratzon because the ratzon comes from the ratzon and mitzvah. Or we could say pure afkinu, he's not doing anything at all, but the rabbi has just canceled his marriage. Or we could say a third way, that because the rabbis emptied out the marriage and made it totally valueless, so then, okay, you might as well do a miratzon, and that's considered to be a get that is a full get in every sense of the word, even though otherwise it would not be considered gross.
Hi. If we're applying up, you know, then do we need to force the get? What role does...
I mean, as opposed to not having a get?
Yeah, just don't beat the guy up.
I mean, just forget the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right, so that's the contemporary suggestion which Rav Nachemi was arguing with. And again, that topic we'll address, but in this context, it seems very clear that the afkida works only through the get. That's what the Rabbaz writes, that Chazal declared through this get the marriage is over. Now, within that, we could ask it two ways. We could say, does it mean that they made the get work, even though the guy is unwilling? Or, like we just said a minute ago, maybe consider him willing at this point because they really left him with a worthless marriage, so then to that he's willing to end it.
According to Rav Zalman, if we go over to today, we apply a kinyan and force the guy to get out, that work?
It seems like theoretically is what to talk about. So again, that topic we'll have to revisit in more detail. It sounds like on the surface is what to talk about. But his emphasis was that without a get, it's not a conversation.
If we are working off of Afkinu, would there be some concept similar to the Heter Meir about if the guy isn't giving a get, if the whole reason for the get is because of the Takana? If really the reason is Afkinu and the get is only a Takana anyway, perhaps it'd be similar to the reverse case, which is if a woman won't accept a get, there's a mechanism of annulling the of the Drabanan to accept a get. So there would probably be, wouldn't it make sense that there's some sort of parallel?
So we have to address both those things. We have to address, that's one of the topics on our agenda probably for next week or the week after. We have some weeks, but coming up soon, we'll talk about that side of the equation, the family of Ben Gershom and Hetanir Rabbanan, and how it fits in. That's very much on our agenda. It may, you'll see, it may not really be parallel. We have to see exactly where Hetanir Rabbanan comes in. But also, we're not necessarily saying here that the get is Midr Rabbanan. Either we're saying that the get, Chazal allowed themselves through the power of Afkinu to take over the get process and to make a get that wouldn't otherwise work. Or we're saying that the get actually does come a ratzon because of what Afkinu did to the marriage. But both of those possibilities probably mean the get really is in HaTorah, it's just it works through the power of Chazal. So it's not clear that we can appropriately call that a takana. That could be countered by Hetter Meir Rabbanan. But Hetter Meir Rabbanan we'll have to discuss on its own and see if there are any parallels. But on the surface, it's not clear that premise is true, that we're necessarily saying the get is Drabanan. Either we're saying that Chazal took over the get process, or we're saying that the get ultimately is Meratzon because of the Afkin. So the question is, Halacha L'maisa, there are very major ramifications, whether you understand things like the Rambam, or you understand things like the other Rishon. So how do we assume Halacha L'maisa? So what is the psak on this issue? So we'll have to work off this premise and just to take us to the next step. But it seems like most of the Rishonim really line up against the Rambam on this issue, that most are assuming there's a different process at play here. We saw with the Rambam there were a few Rishonim that were on his side, but not necessarily the majority. It's also interesting to consider whether Tosfos is on his side. So here, in this sefer, Eilu Shekofim Hotzi assumes that Tosfos is on the side of the Rambam, perhaps. But when we discussed this Tosfos, we saw two ways to understand it, and those two ways may actually correlate to these two ways. So just to revisit that issue, if you recall, Tosfos and Bava Basra and Daphne and Chetz, so Tosfos asks the following question. Tosfos says that the Gemara compares a forced sale, Tzluhu V'Zavin, to a forced get. So Tosfos asks, why is that a good comparison? A get, you're just given, you're not getting paid anything. So really, that should be compared to a forced gift, not a forced sale. So a forced gift doesn't take effect. A forced sale takes effect because, okay, we assume that at the end of the day, you decided to go through with it and to take the money the person is offering and to give the item. So that's what works. But a get, there's no give and take. So where is the deal being sealed? So Tosfos has two answers, but one answer Tosfos gives is that the mitzvah is like mechet. So whenever there's a mitzvah, so then that makes it comparable to a sin. So the Rashash explained that Tosfos is saying that we find that mitzvos are sometimes worth money. Not sometimes, but mitzvos conceptually worth money always. That the Gemara had said in Kulin that if somebody chops your mitzvah, if somebody steals your mitzvah opportunity, so then they have to pay you 10 gold coins. So that shows your mitzvahs have at least symbolic monetary value. So if you're getting a schar mitzvah, it's like you're being paid. So according to that understanding, that basically the reason it's compared to a mecher is because just like a mecher, you get paid for selling the item. So too, when you do a mitzvah, you'll get the schar mitzvah. So I think that's why he's assuming it's like the Rambam. The Rambam is saying that really it's meiratzon because you want to do mitzvahs. So too, here you're getting the schar mitzvah, so it's meiratzon. So we had suggested at the time, though, that maybe there might be another way to read the Tosfos, that maybe mitzvah like mecher doesn't mean that the mitzvah is like money. It could just mean that just like when it comes to mecher, so we'll assume that you seal the deal because you're getting paid. So too, a mitzvah, because there's a commandment, you should assume that you don't feel it's a choice. One of the differences between mecher and matana is mecher you get paid, matana you don't. But that also means that matana takes on a more voluntary component to it. But since there's no obligation to matana, you're not getting anything, so it's only up to you to give a matana or not. While mecher, you're getting paid, so now you have an obligation to give what you're getting paid for. So maybe that's the mitzvah comparison. And we compared it to the idea of the Gemara in Bava Kamma that says that a Shomer Aveda, if somebody's watching somebody else's lost property, so according to one opinion in the Gemara, that's called a Shomer Sacher. It's as if he's getting paid. It's not considered to be a Shomer Chinam. And one explanation of that, according to the Gemara, is Rahmana Meshavet. So we thought that there were two ways to understand that explanation. Either you could say that the Schus HaMitzvah is like opinion, that here you're not getting paid cash, you're getting the mitzvah of Hashem Tzaveda, so that's like cash. Or we'll say no, that just like a Shomer Sacher is committing himself because he's getting paid, so too, the Torah obligates you, so therefore he obligates you with all the requirements of a Shomer Sacher. So here too, if that's the way to understand Tosfos, you could say maybe two ways. You could say either that the mitzvah makes it desirable because of the payment, like the Rambam, it's literally what you want. Or maybe you could say no, that essentially this is the Torah commanding you to do this. And therefore, maybe that's more similar to Afkinu, but essentially, if the rabbis say, this is what happens, it's not up to you. So, it's comparable to Mecher in that sense. Maybe it's a little bit more of a forced reading, but maybe that's also a tenable reading of Tosfos also. So, it's not clear how many major Rishonim really agree with the Rambam. And when it comes to being against him, so there are a number of major Rishonim, primarily the Rush, but also the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. That's really going to be the issue. That, first of all, in terms of the Takanas HaGaonim, we'll talk about this, God willing, a little bit tomorrow in Moed Salai, but Takanas HaGaonim, to institute Kriya in that context, is not even brought in Shulchan Aruch at all. Seems to have not made it as far as Halacha Maisa. And we have the Rush statement that the ability to add on does not exist beyond what Chazal have said. And you also find, even within what Chazal has said, that the Rishonim are very careful, the Shulchan Aruch adopts this, are very careful in applying what is in that category and what isn't in that category. And you find in the Shulchan Aruch as well the distinction between mitzvah and tefillah. So that, right away, really sounds like it's not about the mitzvah that justifies the tefillah, because then there'd be no distinction. If there's a mitzvah, then there's tefillah. So it sounds like, from that element alone, that the Shulchan Aruch is really not working off the Rambam's premise. The Shulchan Aruch is working off the premise that the mechanism is something very specific, that Chazal already established rules for when tefillah works and when it doesn't work, and it's very dangerous to go outside that scope, because we're risking a get musa, we're risking a completely worthless get, and that's going to be very tricky. Now, there are some other parameters, so that's what we'll discuss tomorrow, but it seems like the Rambam now might be in the minority on two major, possibly interrelated issues. One, the question of, does tefillah work on the mitzvah premise, which would expand it significantly? And two, is it mos alai, is that an effective basis for tefillah, which, as we'll discuss tomorrow, the Rambam felt that it was, and others strongly disagree, so that's going to have major implications. Maybe those two positions are connected, maybe they're not, but it puts the Rambam obviously is a very important voice, but it puts him possibly in the minority opinion from two perspectives. So that's something that we'll have to consider tomorrow. So just to quickly review what we spoke about today. So we talked about the other possibility other than the Rambam's view, saying that it's not based on the mitzvah necessarily that makes the get voluntary, but rather it's based on afkeinu, on the rabbis negating the marriage. That's explicit in the Radbaz, and it's implicit in other Rishonim, that especially in discussion of the Tachanas HaGaonim, to be kofa get for Mos Alai, that the Rush writes that this was their effort to use their rabbinic authority, but it wasn't fully mispashet, which sounds like he's saying that they're trying to do an afkeinu. The Ritva is a little more critical. The Ritva says their authority works only for monetary policy, but not for afkeinu, because called Mekadesh Adaita Drabanan, not Adaita to them, but Drabanan means specifically the Rabbanan of the Talmud, not afterwards. And that the Rebbeinu Tam also writes like that, that after the Chasimus HaTalmud, what right do we have to use anything like this? And it's only monetary authority that would be extended to later rabbinic leadership. And then we saw also that if that leads us to the position that it's based on afkeinu, so that has important implications, but it's also very crucial to note that the assumption is afkeinu through a get or with a get. That's actually maybe a little bit open whether it's with a get or through a get, but the language of the Rabbaz is through the get. And the Tanakh Tzedek emphasizes again that the get is necessary. And that left us also a couple of possibilities. Either we could say that Chazal are making that get into a kosher get because of afkeinu and allowing it to work. Or, like others said, that the get essentially comes voluntarily from the husband because the husband is going to realize that there's no value to the marriage and he's going to go through with it. And therefore, it was still possible for a kohen because essentially it's still the status of a grushel. And then we discussed, so if that's the machlokas, so what's the halacha l'maisi here? So we saw that it seems like a lot of major rishonim were against the Rambam. We discussed whether Tosfos is consistent with the Rambam. Tosfos, who says that get the mitzvah can be compared to mefer because of the mitzvah function. And the Rashash understood that to mean that it makes it desirable because it's like money. And we said if that's the case, then maybe it's like the Rambam, but we could also understand it more just that the Torah is saying you don't have a choice in the matter. So maybe that's a little bit different. And we saw that the Shulchan Aruch seems to understand, not like the Rambam, because first of all, in terms of the Tekanas HaGaonim, that doesn't make it into Halacha L'maisa. And in terms of the distinction between mitzvah and kfiyah that we find in the Shulchan Aruch, and the great hesitancy to extend the categories beyond what's mentioned in the Talmud, and in fact, even within what's mentioned in the Talmud, the great care that you find the Shulchan Aruch taking following the Rush and others seems to be working off the premise that there was an institution of Afkinu that was put into place by the Chachmei HaTalmud, and we have to be very sure that that's what we're talking about. So what implications does this have for Moed Salvai and for other issues? So God willing, we will pick up with that tomorrow. Hopefully again, we'll see more of that sugya, and we'll address that then.
Look at it.